I love baptisms, and I hope you appreciate the fact that we can put it up on the screen now so you don't have to run to the front and take a look. That was pretty precious. Lord bless you. As you know, we're beginning our series this morning on extreme living, and I want you to take a quick peek at a video clip, which will help give you a sense for what we're heading into. Watch this. That's pretty extreme, isn't it? How many of you are ready for an extreme adventure, extreme living? You want some of that? I'm not sure. Well, you know, it took us a lot of work this week to film that. And I know that looks like Tom Cruise, but it was actually somebody else with a Tom Cruise mask over them. It was really Pastor Larry who was climbing. And let's give Pastor Larry a round. I thought he did a great job. Well, actually, today we're beginning a series, a seven-week series, seven-week journey into and through the book of Acts in the New Testament. And as mentioned earlier, it used to be called the Acts of the Apostles, but if you really look at it, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through His people. But we're going to look at that, and we're going to examine it this week. Believers in the early church were definitely living on the edge. They were living the adventurous life. They were living the dangerous life in many ways. They were pursuing a life of knowing Christ and being useful for Him. Now, I know many people in our world today, and some people even in the church, even people who consider themselves Christians, who, if you really probed and pushed, would find that their perception of living for Christ and serving Him is rather dull and boring. Now, I suggest to you that that is an impossible reality. To know the real, true, living Jesus Christ and to be serving Him, it may scare your socks off, or it may absolutely delight your soul, but it will never bore you. Never bore you. It's an exciting adventure. This morning we're going to examine the first issue in this series of extreme living, the issue of power, supernatural power, extreme power. And to do so, we're going to look at just one of the many stories within the book of Acts and use that as our launching pad to examine this story of supernatural power. So if you have your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 8, or you can read the verses on the screen with me, or they're also in your bulletin, some of them anyway. Acts chapter 8, I'm starting at verse 5. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power, known as the great power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. Please pray with me. Father, as we jump into this passage in your word and try and understand it, we pray that your Holy Spirit will open our spiritual eyes. Help us see, help us perceive, help us understand. And then, Lord, as we do, plant it deep in our soul and move us to the purposes that you have for our lives, even this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Simon, the guy in this story, was a sorcerer. Simon was a guy whose expertise, whose business was power. Supernatural power, paranormal stuff, magic, spooky activity, connecting the physical world to the spiritual world. That was his life. Kind of like witch doctors today, or shamans, or witches, or warlocks, or fortune tellers, or New Age channelers. All these people, in one way or another, deal with the paranormal. Now, if you received a Western education, then you probably have a little trouble with this supernatural stuff, because in your understanding, the only thing that really exists in the universe is material, is matter. Now, even Westerners are slowly starting to wake up to the reality, what the rest of the world has known all along. There is another dimension of reality that can't be weighed on a scale, examined under a microscope, swirled in a test tube, or probed with a scope. It is just as real as anything material and physical, even though you cannot analyze it with your five senses. It's another dimension. It's the world of spirit. Simon knew that world. He dealt in it all the time. He knew how to engage the dark, evil, supernatural powers and to make things happen in the physical world. Now, in most locations and generations, that kind of activity and ability becomes a very lucrative business because it plays on the needs of human beings all over the world. Probably every person everywhere in the world would love to have something magical or mysterious or lucky or supernatural happen to them. I mean, if I could kind of wave my hands and make you win the lottery, would you like that? If I could do something with a hocus pocus and all of a sudden you'd be healed, or a family member would be healed, you'd kind of like that. Or throw a couple feathers around and put a curse on the competition so that your business could thrive. You can see how that kind of activity plays into the desires of human beings. Simon was no dummy, and so he milked this mysterious spiritual stuff for all it was worth. It was his business, and he was good. So good that the people actually called him the Great Power. Pretty heady stuff. Well, one day some guys show up into town, and they're telling people about Jesus. And supernatural miracles are taking place all over the place. The cripples are dancing. The blind eyes are now wide open, drinking in the newly discovered colors and shapes. The paralytics are moving to the music of heaven. The demons were running for cover, screaming as they left those that they had previously bound. The powerful dark forces which had enabled so much of the mysterious stuff in Simon's life were now themselves being overpowered by someone stronger than they were. And Simon couldn't help but notice. Simon was interested. Indeed, Simon was engaged. He was engaged so much, the text tells us, that he actually yielded his life to Jesus Christ. He became a follower of the one in whose name all these mighty miracles were taking place. Have you ever noticed that the Holy Spirit's miraculous power engages us? It draws us, it captures our attention, and it forces us to deal with the issues. You cannot watch a miracle happen or hear about a miracle or see the results of a miracle and not be affected. Dear friends, if you can, then you're deader than the person in the box. Because miracles engage. They force us to deal with something that defies our human logic and understanding, that goes outside the boundaries of our experience and testability. It brings us face to face with another dimension. And therefore, it engages us. Now, nevertheless, miraculous power does not always lead to faith. When some people were asking Jesus for a miraculous sign to authenticate his credentials, he told them that some people would not believe even if somebody were to rise again from the dead. And so it is to this day. You see, miracles can draw our attention in the same way that a good magic trick does. But only those with true spiritual hunger will follow up on that engagement with belief and trust. Philip was telling these people in Samaria about Jesus, the one who actually was raised from the dead by God. You may have heard that story many, many times, but you have to understand, for these people, it was the first time. Somebody walks into town, there's miracles taking place, and they tell you a story about a guy getting out of the grave after 3 days. You better believe they were engaged. They were, what? The news spread through town. This was phenomenal information. That was miraculous. And then the miracles that they were seeing with their very eyes confirmed that what they heard about Jesus was actually true. And as a result, the text simply tells us that many people, men and women, believed and were baptized, including Simon. They became fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Now, not only does the Holy Spirit's miraculous power engage us, but his ministry power also enables us. It equips us. It builds us. It strengthens us. It empowers us. God's Spirit enables his children. You see, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, when we invite him into our lives, Jesus actually moves in. He actually comes to live inside the home in our spirit. He takes up residence within. And when the Holy Spirit is allowed to fill our being from the inside out, when he is allowed to be the true, undisputed Lord and Master of our lives, then guess what happens? When he's there and he's free to be the Lord, well, he does what he does best. He's himself. And so he therefore carries on the ministry that he began in the book of Acts and that he's continued through the generation. The Holy Spirit ministers his awesome power through the person that he indwells. Take a look at chapter 8, verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The apostles sent Peter and John to the Samaritans when they heard about their new faith. They sent these two guys to them. Why? Because they knew that it would be silly for them to try and live out the Christian life without God's supernatural enabling. They knew that it would be silly for them to try and share Christ with other people without God's supernatural enabling. They knew it would be silly for them to try and minister for God without God's supernatural enabling. You may say, where did they get such a silly idea? From Jesus. From Jesus himself. You see, the book of Acts begins with the author, Dr. Luke, summarizing his previous book, the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus' last words there, in before his ascension into heaven, are the backdrop and the outline for the book of Acts. You have to understand that. Although Jesus had built and trained his 12 disciples over a 3-year period, experiencing every dimension of his ministry, he built them, he equipped them, he trained them, he was ready to launch them into ministry. He told them to go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations. Before he goes to heaven, guess what he says? He doesn't say go, he says stop. Before you go, I want you to stop, I want you to wait, because you're not yet ready. You need something else. He actually commanded them to stop and wait before they started. Listen to what he said in Acts 1, verses 4, 5, and 8. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So these disciples obeyed the Lord. They waited. For 10 days after Jesus' ascension, they gathered together and they waited. And they prayed. They waited. And they prayed. They waited. And they prayed. And then, when the day of Pentecost came, that's one of the feasts, the Jewish feasts, which were 50 days after the Passover. When that day arrived, the text tells us, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit in that context enabled these people to actually speak languages they had never gone to school for, they had never learned. They were able to do that. Because that city was filled with foreigners in that day, Chawagas, expatriates like you and me who had come for the feast. And God wanted to get His message to them, so He enabled His people to speak languages they'd never learned so those people could hear the good news of Jesus in their own languages. As you continue through the book of Acts, you see story after story after story of normal people, young people, old people, men and women, people being enabled by the Holy Spirit to do things they would not be able to do in their own human ability. There were miracles of every sort as you read through the book of Acts. And if you haven't yet, please, this week, sit down for 30 minutes and read through the book of Acts. It'll change your life. It'll also help you appreciate this series. There were miracles of every sort. There were dynamic answers to prayer. There were victorious power encounters with the forces of hell. There was advance of the gospel in the midst of horrible persecution. And there was unquenchable joy in the midst of great suffering. Some of you say, well, that's nice, Pastor Dave, but that was back then. That was 2,000 years ago. That's the way God worked back then, but He doesn't do that anymore today. Dear friends, there's one thing that is absolutely clear from reading the book of Acts, and it is this. The Holy Spirit enables us to minister in ways we cannot do by ourselves. Will you read this with me out loud? The Holy Spirit enables us to minister in ways we cannot do by ourselves. Dear friends, if you miss this truth, if you miss this, you will never understand the book of Acts. If you miss this truth, you will also miss the mystery of God's enabling in your life today. This is absolutely central to the entire book of Acts. You see, it's very possible to even be a follower of Jesus and not know this ministry power of which I speak this morning. A.W. Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit were suddenly taken, many churches would continue for months without noticing anything had changed. You may say, I think I know a church like that. Well, scarier yet, could that be said of my life or of yours? How much of what I go on in my life and what I say is my Christian life is merely my own human activity? How much of it would carry on exactly the same if God, the all-powerful Holy Spirit, was not involved? Very potent questions. Last week we heard from 8 people who were involved in our cell ministry. Average people like you and me, young, old, male, female. We heard these 8 people share how God was doing mighty things in them and through them. We heard of physical healings. We heard of demons being dismissed. We heard of lives powerfully transformed by God's grace, and of many other people coming to faith in Jesus Christ through their witness. That wasn't 2,000 years ago. That was last Thursday and last Friday here. You may say, how can that happen through such ordinary folks? How? Because God can use your hands just like He used the hands of Peter and John. God can use your life just like He used the lives of the apostles. If you have yielded your life to Jesus Christ, if you have invited the Holy Spirit to fill you with Himself, then, dear friends, He is living inside you. And if the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God is living in you, then there is no limit to what He can do in you and through you. Doesn't that make sense? Say this one with me too. If the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God is living in you, then there is no limit to what He can do in and through you. God can use your hands to impart the Holy Spirit or to provide a healing touch. You may say, oh, no, I can't do that. That's the point. You can't do it. But He can. God may want to use your mouth, your lips, to speak a prophetic word. Oh, I couldn't do that. That's the point. You can't do it. But He can. God may want to use your mouth to speak a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, even to speak perhaps a language that you've never learned. See, God isn't looking for our abilities. He's looking for our availability. And when we're open, when we're free, when God is free to use us, then God does what He does best. He's God. And He's able to flow through His people to accomplish His purposes in His power for His glory. God can use your life, dear child of God, to lift the fallen, to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring life to those who are spiritually dying. Your life, your lips, your hands, your feet can be enabled by the Holy Spirit for supernatural ministry. God designed you for life on the edge. God designed you for extreme living. God designed you to move you from complacency, from average, into exciting. That's what He designed you for. And I venture to say that deep down in your spirit, there's a longing desire to participate with God for the purpose for which He made you. You may say, well, then let's get on with it. This sounds too good to be true. Give me some of that power. Man, it sounds so good. I'll even pay you for it right now. Give it to me. Well, not so quick. Be very, very careful about this. That's exactly what Simon tried. And it got him into a lot of trouble. Let's pick up the story. Verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money? You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right with God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps He will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." Now I admit, this is not the way most of us thought this story would finish. It kind of takes a reverse. It seems to stop and move in another direction. It sounds like such a downer. It seems to take the focus off of God's mighty power and get rather petty and even vindictive. Like, what's happening here? Before you dismiss this, stop and look again. Look very, very closely at what's happening here. There is something extremely important going on, otherwise it wouldn't have been recorded for us. When you see what takes place in the life of Simon, you are seeing the power of the Holy Spirit working in one of the most powerful ways possible. Let me say that again. When you see what God is doing in the life of Simon, you are watching the power of the Holy Spirit in one of its most significant ways. You see, the Holy Spirit's motivational power exchanges something deep inside of us. There's a transformation that takes place way, way down deep inside. You see, the Spirit of God is not just one of the many spirits or powers that humans like to connect with in order to get things done. He is the Holy Spirit, the Holy One who embodies all the righteousness, purity, sinlessness, and perfection of God. Because of who He is, because His essential characteristic is absolute holiness, He cannot and He will not
live in garbage. He will not reside with rot, with stink, with foulness, and with imperfections. He is the Holy Spirit. You see, God sends His Holy Spirit to clean us up, to change us, to exchange our sin for His holiness, our defilement for His purity, our weakness for His strength, our inability for His... may come. It doesn't matter how defiled, how broken, how bad you've messed up in your life. He throws His arms wide open and says, come. You don't have to clean up your act before you come. Just come. I'll accept you as you are. But I love you so much, I'm not going to leave you that way. I'm going to take you and I'm going to exchange you. I'm going to make you brand new. John the Baptist understood this. He said, I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for the kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in the drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand, he will ignite the kingdom life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, He'll put out with the trash to be burned. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, there's no doubt that Simon, the recently converted sorcerer, was way out of line on his request. Way out of line. His motives were impure, and his old life patterns were still hanging on him like an old, dirty, stinky garment. But will you please take note of his response as soon as he was aware of his bitterness and his captivity to sin? As soon as he was confronted with the reality of his wrong motives, with the sin in his life, what did he do? He said, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said to me may happen to me. Dear friends, this simple response of Simon's reveals a broken and a contrite heart. It reveals that the Holy Spirit was indeed working within him. Simon, who just minutes before was seeking power for all the wrong reasons. Simon, who just hours before was considered the great power by everybody else and loved the esteem. This Simon was now on his face begging for mercy, asking people to pray for him. Talk about a transformation. You see, he's not justifying himself. He's not sneaking behind some building so nobody will hear his admission of guilt. He's publicly acknowledging his failure, publicly admitting it. If you know anything about human nature, that kind of change doesn't happen easy. If you want to see raw power, real power, transforming power, power that the world knows nothing of, power that has the power to change people, change culture, change this world. There it is. That's it right there before your eyes. It is the Holy Spirit's great motivational exchange. The power of God, somehow, by the Holy Spirit, is able to go instantly to the command center of our soul, the motivational room, and move the primary motivational switch of our life from seeking self to seeking God. From seeking my power to seeking His power. From seeking my will to seeking His will. From seeking my glory to seeking His glory. From seeking my advance and success to seeking His advance and success. And you know as well as I do, changing that switch requires far more power than any of us have in and of ourselves. If you're like me, I have tried at times to change my life. I've tried to move some basic habits, let alone the motivational stuff. I've tried to change some basic, simple things and I'm powerless. This kind of change, dear friends, in the inner part of a man that moves him so radically from self to God can only be done by God Himself. But thankfully, God can do it in a flash if we will but sincerely yield our lives to Him. The book of Acts describes a bunch of normal people who enjoyed the absolute thrill of an extreme life. Because they chose to connect with the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, they got to live life on the edge. Can I ask you this morning, where are you at in all of this? Where am I at? We have to bring this one home. Has God's supernatural power engaged you? Has He ever caught your attention? Has He ever drawn interest from you in this arena? Is there any interest in your heart for the supernatural things of God? Are you experiencing His supernatural enabling in your life and in your ministry? Or are you simply satisfied with your own powerless ways? Maybe some of you even try and justify your impotence theologically. Where are you at today? Today I invite you to experience true, lasting, life-changing power. I invite you to open up your heart and invite Jesus Christ to come into the very center of your being and be your Savior and Lord. I invite you to open up your heart and ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you with Himself. To come and move in as the undisputed Lord and Master of your life. And dear friends, if you choose to do that, get ready for extreme living. Get ready for life on the edge.